Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, April 20th, Pope Francis invites a group of Spanish seminarians to be shepherds to their people with Christ's loving heart. UNRWA says the threat of disease outbreaks in Gaza is growing as winter ends and temperatures rise. And UNICEF warns about the mounting death toll among children in Ukraine. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. On this Saturday morning, the eve of Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Francis met with seminarians from Seville in Spain and encouraged them to be shepherds to their people with Christ's loving heart, open arms, and with a smile. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Meeting with the seminarians of the Metropolitan and Redemptoris Mater Seminaries of Sevilla, Spain, Pope Francis encouraged them by saying, "With your hearts in God, with open hands and a big smile, share the joy of the gospel with all those you encounter."
Ustedes, seminaristas, recibieron una llamada del Señor.
Pope urged them to become shepherds who care tenderly for their people with the heart and love of Christ. The Pope began his remarks by pointing out that their encounter fell on the eve of a very significant day, Good Shepherd Sunday, which is celebrated tomorrow. The Pope said, "You seminarians have received a call from the Lord," as he encouraged them with their formator's help to be pastors following the Lord's heartfelt example. The Pope then reiterated four areas in which future priests must concentrate their energies, namely spiritual life, study, community life, and apostolic activity. Pope said, "To truly become a priest who understands the need to totally surrender to God and to our brothers and sisters, especially to those suffering most," he said, "this integration is necessary and urgent." The Pope recalled in a special way a holy pastor of Andalusia, Blessed Marcello Spinola y Maestre, a teacher of priests who used to say that virtue and knowledge are two things that should be taught preferably to those aspiring to the priesthood, adding that knowledge without virtue puffs up and does not build, and virtue without knowledge builds but does not instruct. The Pope used these observations to illustrate the need for future priests to maintain a certain holy balance, as he called for prayer, study, fraternity, and mission within the priests to be united. Pope Francis concluded by encouraging the seminarians to make the most of their time in seminary to joyfully cultivate and share their faith. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Earlier this morning, Pope Francis also received members of the Pontifical Committee for Historical Sciences on the 70th anniversary of the committee's foundation. In his address, the Holy Father invited them to become, like the Church, experts in humanity and servants of humanity. Christopher Wells reports.
Historians have a specific contribution to make in the dialogue between the Church and the modern world, Pope Francis said on Saturday, quoting his predecessor, St. Paul VI. Addressing members of the Pontifical Committee for Historical Sciences during their plenary meeting, the Holy Father highlighted their international dimension and multicultural dynamic, as well as their commitment to the search for historical truth on a global scale. He said the enriching approach of the committee can contribute to the cultural diplomacy necessary in the face of ongoing global conflict, and he called upon members to open horizons of dialogue where you can bring the light of the hope of the gospel.
A proseguire nel lavoro di ricerca storica, aprendo orizzonti di dialogo dove portare la luce della speranza del Vangelo.
Pope Francis highlighted the proximity that exists between historians and the Church, a closeness based on the common search for the truth and service to the truth. Again, quoting Paul VI, Pope Francis said, "The Church walks in history with women and men of every age and does not belong to any culture, but desires to vivify the heart of every culture with the meek and courageous witness of the gospel to build together the civilization of encounter." This attitude, he said, is opposed to the incivility of confrontation that is nourished by self-referentiality and ideology. The Pope warned against a church focused on itself, recalling the church's mission to be a truly humble and excellent intermediary between the divine Savior and humanity. Recalling that this year the committee celebrates the 70th anniversary of its foundation, Pope Francis called on members to conform your work to these words, and he expressed his hope that their studies in history might make them, like the Church, experts in humanity and servants of humanity. I'm Christopher Wells.
And Pope Francis today also invited Italian pilgrims from various Italian dioceses to heed the legacy of the servant of God, Pope Pius VII, whom the Holy Father described as a courageous witness of the gospel in times of struggles and in times of divisions. Lisa Zingarini tells us more.
A Benedictine monk and a renowned theologian, Pius VII is remembered for his unyielding opposition to Napoleon's attempt to subjugate the church that cost him his arrest and imprisonment. Meeting a group of pilgrims from the Italian dioceses of Cesena, Sarsina, Savona, Imola and Tivoli, Pope Francis recalled that his dedication to God and the church remained unshakable, even at the cost of great sacrifices. The Pope described how Pius VII witnessed to three key values, which are also essential for our journeys of faith, communion, testimony and mercy. Pius VII, he said, was a staunch supporter and defender of communion in times of fierce struggles and divisions. With tenacious perseverance in defending unity, he was able to transform the arrogance of those who wanted to isolate him into opportunities to relaunch a message of dedication and love for the Church. His example, the Pope remarked, therefore encourages us today to build communion and reconciliation and to remain faithful to the truth in charity. A meek man, Pope Francis continued, Pius VII was also a courageous announcer of the gospel with his words and his life. This is testified by the remarks he addressed to the cardinals electors at the beginning of his pontificate. Finally, the Pope recalled that despite the difficulties he faced under Napoleon, Pius VII paid a great attention to the needy and carried out important social reforms. He showed the same mercy towards his persecutors. Although he denounced their errors and abuses in no uncertain terms, he tried to keep a channel of dialogue open with them and, above all, always offered his forgiveness.
Sono molti valori a cui richiama la memoria del servo di Dio Pio VII.
Concluding, Pope Francis therefore encouraged the Italian pilgrims to follow his example. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Turning to world news, as the war in Gaza continues, the UN relief agency for Palestinians, UNRWA, has warned that the threat of disease outbreaks in Gaza is growing as winter ends and temperatures rise. Nathan Morley reports.
After months of bombardment, UNRWA now says that cleaner living conditions are urgently needed in the Gaza enclave. Their affairs director is Scott Anderson.
Everything moves kind of at the pace of a donkey cart. And what you have is people every day trying to find food, water, and now trying to find shade as the temperatures increase and we move from winter to summer. Our fear is it's an outbreak of disease. So we need to do some work to control mosquitoes, to control flies, pick up trash, and continue to try to improve the water and sanitation system overall.
Earlier, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an end to the dangerous cycle of retaliation in the Middle East. Concerning the situation between Iran and Israel, he condemned any act of retaliation and appealed to the international community to work together to prevent any further development that could lead to devastating consequences for the entire region and beyond. Earlier, Turkey also expressed unease that tensions between Iran and Israel could turn into a wider conflict and called on both countries to desist from any steps that could escalate the conflict. The Turkish Foreign Ministry also stressed that the main concern of the international community should be to end the conflict in Gaza and guarantee lasting peace in the region by establishing a Palestinian state. Meanwhile, the Palestinian death toll from the ongoing Israeli attacks on Gaza has risen to 33,970. That's according to the Hamas-run health ministry. Reports suggest some victims remain under the rubble amid heavy bombardment and a lack of civil defence and ambulance crews. Separately, Israel announced this week the launch of a new route to supply humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip via Ashdod in response to international warnings of the catastrophic hunger in the Palestinian enclave. With a new route, aid trucks undergo security screenings at Ashdod port, which is in the south of Israel, and then enter Gaza through the Kerem Shalom crossing. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And finally, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, has expressed concern about the mounting death toll among children in Ukraine after the war with Russia entered its third year. UNICEF announced at least 8 people, including children, were killed in the eastern Ukrainian city of Dnipro by a suspected Russian airstrike. Stefan Boss reports.
Shocked residents in this city of some 1 million people watched the aftermath of what authorities said was a Russian airstrike. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expressed outrage that a residential building and the train station were among the damaged sites in Dnipro. The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, said among the several people killed here were 3 children, aged 6, 8 and 14. It added that minors were also part of the reported casualties in a deadly attack in Kharkiv in northern Ukraine earlier this week, which reportedly damaged a hospital and educational institution. UNICEF said that the waves of deadly attacks are intensifying across the country and that children continue to pay the highest price for this war. The agency said the United Nations estimates that at least close to 2,000 children have been killed and injured since the escalation of the war 2 years ago. However, UNICEF said the figure is likely higher as the number only includes the United Nations verified reports. As he visited the city of Dnipro, hit by the latest Russian airstrike, Ukrainian President Zelensky said that Ukraine's allies should rush in more air defenses to his war-torn nation. Zelensky said Russian missiles also struck the Black Sea port of Pivdeni in the southern Odessa region on Friday afternoon, destroying grain storage facilities and the food inside. Yet, despite a lack of air defenses, Kiev claimed its military shot down the Russian Tu-22 M3 strategic bomber from a distance of 308 kilometers or 191 miles after he took part in the long-range deadly airstrike that hit Dnipro. Moscow claimed the aircraft suffered a technical malfunction when it came down in Russia's southern Stavropol region. Authorities said 4 aircrews ejected, with 1 dead, 2 rescued and another missing. Russia acknowledged, however, that it came under attack from dozens of Ukrainian drones Friday night and into Saturday morning. And with the war ongoing, so does the suffering, including here in Dnipro. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.